Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 18, The Battle Between Lord Boar and the Demon, Haranyaksha. Maitreya Vacha.
Maitreya Vacha.
Tadevam Akarnya Jalesha Vashitam.
Tadevam Akarnya Jalesha Vashitam.
Mahamanastad. Viganayaya Dormadaha. Harir Viditva Gatim Anga Naradad. Vasatalam Nirvishe Paranvitaha. Maitreya Vacha, Tadeva Karnya Jalesha Bhashitam, Mahamanastad Viganaya Dormadaha, Harir Viditva Gatim Anga Narada. Satalam Niravivishe Taranvitaha. Ladies.
Mahamanastha
Ahamanasadviganaya Duramada. Harayaravidit Vagadim Anganarada. Prasatalam Nirvishetan Naranvita. Maitreya Vacha. The great sage Maitreya. Uvacha said, tat, that, evam, thus, akarnya, hearing, jalaisha, of the controller of water, varuna, vashitam, words, Mahamanaha, proud. Tat, those words. Viganayaya, having paid little heed to. Duramada, vainglorious. Hare, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Viditva, having learned. Katim, the whereabouts. Anga, oh dear Vidura. Naradat, from Narada. Prasatalam, to the depths of the ocean. Nirvivishe, entered. Tvara anvitaha, with great speed. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Maitreya continued, the proud and falsely glorious Daitya paid little heed to the words of Varuna, my dear Vidura. He learned from Narada the whereabouts of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and hurriedly betook himself to the depths of the ocean. Purport. Materialistic warmongers are not even afraid to fight with their mightiest enemy, the Personality of Godhead. The demon was very encouraged to learn from Varuna that there was one fighter who could actually combat him. And he was very enthusiastic to search out the Supreme Personality of Godhead just to give him a fight. Even though it was predicted by Varuna that by fighting with Vishnu, he would become prey for dogs, jackals, and vultures. Since demoniac persons are less intelligent, they dare fight with Vishnu, who is known as Ajita, a one who has never been conquered. So the text again. Maitreya Vacha Tadeva Akarnya Jalesha Vashitam Mahamanastad Viganayaya Durmada Harir Viditva Gatim Anga Naradad Rasatalam Nirvishishe Taranvitaha. Maitreya continued, the proud and glorious Daitya paid little heed to the words of Varuna. O dear Vidura, he learned from Narada the whereabouts of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and hurriedly betook himself to the depths of the ocean. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Saraswatam Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunivadi Paskyatya De Sadarane. Here we find, as usual, the demons, they don't listen to the devotees of Krishna. They don't listen to Krishna. They don't listen to the devotees of Krishna. What they do is they listen to their false ego. And their false ego, in this case, and the false ego of Hiranyaksha, is telling him, fly into the fire as soon as possible and as quickly as possible. Like the fly flying into a fire. Therefore, at the end of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna After asking Arjuna a number of questions, or we should say, after Arjuna asked Krishna a number of questions, finally Krishna asked Arjuna a question. He asked Arjuna, Kachit ekatschutam parata, twayai kagrena chetasaha, kachit agana samoha, pranataste dananjaya. Have you been listening? That's all he asked Arjuna. That's all he was expecting Arjuna to do, is to listen. More or less, he asked Arjuna, we were actually awake during the whole Bhagavad Gita class. And Arjuna could have replied, that was a fantastic Srimad Bhagavatam class. I can't remember which sloka it was, but I'm sure it was quite great. I think I'll go home and watch the replay on television. No, Krishna was interested in, were you actually paying attention? So attention has two aspects. We can't really pay attention unless we get some benefit from what we're hearing. And the ultimate benefit is that we feel either relief from our distress or, and we get positive transcendental happiness from what we're hearing. Otherwise, if there's no relief from distress, which is in the material world called happiness, and there's no positive happiness, we're not going to take very much interest in hearing, especially not carefully. People listen to their teacher at school because they're afraid of failing the test, not because they love the teacher. They listen to their boss, not out of love for the boss, but because they know if they don't carry out the assignment, they'll get fired, and they'll lose their income, and their wife will complain. And if the wife complains, they won't have any sense gratification. So actually, they're listening to serve their sense gratification, not out of love for their boss. But Krishna was interested if Arjuna actually got some benefit, because Krishna was not speaking ordinary words, he was speaking the words from transcendence to elevate Arjuna to the spiritual platform. So therefore he was asking if you paid attention. And what would be the proof of Arjuna's paying attention? Kachit agana samoha. That both your ignorance, what is our ignorance? The fact is that we believe that we're this body. And beyond believing that we're this body, we actually believe that we're the doer of the activities that are being carried on by the body. In other words, due to our false ego, we think ourselves independent and the doer, but not that we have nothing to do. We have some part to do with the activities that are being performed, but that what we're doing, or that responsibility we have, is that we have a capacity to desire. And either we can desire to serve Krishna on one hand as Krishna's servant, acting as a soul, because obviously we're not going to, with our two little spiritual hands, 1/10,000th the size of the tip of hair in size, and I guess if our whole body is 1/10,000th the size of the tip of hair in size, imagine how big our little spiritual hands are. So what were we going to do to serve Krishna with our little spiritual hands? That flower will be as practically as big as a planet to us. We can't even pick up the flower to offer to Krishna presently. But we can do, our only service we can do Krishna at the present is simply dovetail our desires with Krishna's desires. There's nothing else we can do. And although that seems quite insignificant, but actually that's the only significance we have presently. Or if we decide that that's not enough for me, that's not glorious enough for me, I have to become much more glorious than being simply an instrument for Krishna. Simply instrument meaning that I'm simply agreeing to what Krishna wants. That I simply agree that Krishna wants to deliver me and the other conditioned souls in this world, and I agree that my body, mind, and words should serve this mission. That's not enough for me, because I'm not going to be in the center. Now let me think of some other mission for my body, my mind, and my words, that my body will become powerful, my mind will appreciate me, and I'll get other people to appreciate me. My words will go down in history, famous last words. And my false ego will live forever. People will remember me, all my glorious deeds. So we can try to serve that, but that's called illusion. Because it has nothing. It is service, but it won't really benefit us or anyone else. It won't benefit the soul. And it's actually not even glorious. It's simply a misconception that it's glorious, because someone may find it glorious, another fool like me may find it glorious what I'm doing, but actually it's simply a waste of time. Shrama evahi kevalam. And who will find it glorious? Svavit vrahostra karar samstuta purusha pashu niyat karna patiyopeta jatu namagaja gadagraja. Those who are like hogs, dogs, camels, and asses, they never glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They're simply glorifying bigger hogs, bigger dogs, bigger camels, and bigger asses. They have to accept someone as superior. They have to go follow someone, Mahajano Yena Katasa Panda. Everyone has to listen to someone for advancement, either materially or spiritual. But if we don't accept Krishna, then ultimately we have to accept a hog or a dog or a camel or an ass and follow them, so we can become a bigger hog, a bigger dog, a bigger camel, or a bigger ass. So Krishna didn't want Arjuna, his friend, to fall into that predicament. Therefore he spoke Bhagavad Gita. And he was asking Arjuna, did you listen? And if you listen, has your ignorance of being this body been dispelled? Or, if you've now identified yourself as a soul, has your ignorance of thinking your interest in life to serve the senses and the mind and your perverted intelligence and false ego, have you given up that conception? Have you understood? You can only desire, and if you desire to serve me, then whatever activities you're going to do, whatever activities that this body is going to do, will be beneficial for yourself and for others also. Have you actually gotten out of the illusion that you're going to become something other, or that the goal is something other than to become the eternal servant of Krishna's servants? And what did Arjuna say? Nashto moha smritir ladva. Yes, nashto moha. My illusion has now been dispelled. I've actually realized. It is not a question of experience. We can do Mangalarti every day or come to Mangalarti. We can read Bhagavad Gita every day. Or as William Blake said, I don't know his quote from William Blake, but it's applicable. He said, we both read the Bible day and night. I read black, and you read white. So it's not just a question of experience. It's not even a question of practice or study. Therefore, tarako apratishta shutiya vibina nasavari shiryasyanabina dharmasya tattvam nihitam guhayam mahajano yena katha sapanta. It is not by argument. It is not by scriptural study. It is not by hearing from rishis, different opinions. One has to choose a leader and then follow them, follow their instructions, not just blindly, but with proper understanding, and therefore develop one's enthusiasm to follow the instructions, as well as consistency in doing so. And what will be the result? A revelation. Our movement is based on revelation. It's not based on experience. It's not based upon expertise. It's based on revelation and becoming qualified for that revelation. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, everything is his realizing Krishna is based on revelation. Realizing what we're even supposed to do to serve Krishna is based on revelation. But revelation is not something far, far distant that only a few mystics living in a cave receive after fasting for 20 years. No, revelation should be a daily, minute-to-minute experience that every devotee is supposed to be having. Therefore, Krishna says, Tesham Saratam Yuktanam Bhajantam Priti Purvagam Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam Yena Mam Upyantite. To those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give them the intelligence by which they can come to me. That Krishna is anxious to give us revelation. Well, what's the problem? The problem is, for the conditioned soul, is that Krishna is God. So he's the last person on everyone's list to consult with. That's not considered fair in academia to bring in God. As a matter of fact, it's considered a great offense. You can lose your job at a university if you quote the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You have to quote Freud, and even your mother-in-law is better to quote than God. Therefore, one has to understand that if we want revelation, we have to rely upon Krishna to get it. And what is the reason why Krishna gives revelation? One time, one of my friends, of course, all the devotees are my friends, but we had a party together on Radha Damodar. He was actually the leader, but we were kind of co-leaders. And he was walking with Srila Prabhupada in New Vrindavan one time, and he said to Srila Prabhupada, she said, Srila Prabhupada, they say, which is very bad to anyone who listens to Prabhupada's tapes, and you say, they say, you might as well take a few yards back from Prabhupada. So you can more or less endure the heat that's about to come. Who's they? They say that God speaks to them. So Prabhupada said, what is the qualification? Where in Bhagavad Gita does Krishna say who Krishna speaks to? And this devotee was saying, well, Prabhupada, I don't mean... He said, well, you're saying that they say. Who says? Who says? Why are you saying? You don't know the answer? You've read Bhagavad Gita? You don't study my books? So it appeared, you know, I was on Radha Damodara. This is during the Radha Damodara days. So, wow, Prabhupada's really agitated. He's getting really on his case, you know. You know, all he did is ask a question. My God, you know. I mean, I used to ask questions. Probably would joke with me, but he's asked a question. I mean, I could feel the heat from New Vrindavan. And that went on for at least 10 minutes. And then finally, Prabhupada said this verse, Tesham Sadatam Yuktanam Bhajantam Priti Purvakam Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam Yena Mam Upyantite. To understand any verse in Bhagavad Gita, the best thing we can do is take a step back and maybe in a step forward. because Krishna doesn't say anything out of context. He's not speaking to Arjuna, and some idea pops into his mind, and he says, well, he has a flow of thought, and he goes, oh, hey, I got another idea too. Let me throw this out also, I'll come back to this other idea. Well, we must say that Krishna has a certain advantages, besides the fact he's God when he's speaking. That he's spoken Bhagavad Gita since time immemorial, so he has it pretty well down. He has the whole thing memorized quite well. And if there was any mistake, he probably corrected it a few billion years ago. Therefore, it's always good to take a couple of steps back and see what the context of that verse is. So I'll take two steps back, because this is the Chatur Sloki verses. So in the first Chatur Sloki verse, Krishna says, Aham sarvasya pravo matak sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samanvita. So here he's talking about buddha. People have half a brain, which is quite rare in Kali Yuga. The fact that anyone has even a quarter of any brain is pretty good. As Prabhupada used to say, they're claiming that we're brainwashing people, but that's not true because practically no one has a brain. We can't wash anyone's brain if they don't have one. He said practically everyone's brain is made out of cow dung. And even you wash it, never gets clean. It's still the same, you wash the first layer, it's still cow dung. So Krishna says, Buddha, those who have some intelligence, bhava, they can develop bhava, feeling, towards me. Why? Because everything is coming from me. Because I'm the source of all the material and spiritual worlds. Which means everything we're attracted to now, and everything that we could be attracted to if we got some revelation from Krishna, it's all Krishna. It's all coming from Krishna. There's nothing separate from Krishna. Now, how do we realize that? Machchitta, machkata, prana, bodhiyantas, parashparam. Machchitta, those whose minds are absorbed in Krishna. Machkata, prana. Not only their minds are absorbed in Krishna, but their very life is absorbed in serving Krishna. Those who have consciousness of Krishna and are dedicated to Krishna, which is what Krishna was telling Arjuna to do. Absorb your mind in me and dedicate your activities to me. So those who have done that, machchitta, machkata, prana, bodhiyaschas parashparam, what they do is they get together and they discuss their realizations. They don't keep them for themselves. Oh, if I told you my realization, you'd become the guru and who knows, I'd lose my position. No, they share it. They're generous. They freely distribute it. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu broke open the store of love of Godhead, plundered its, ate its remnant, its contents, and then freely distributed it to everyone. And the more he distributed it with the Panchatattva, the more the storehouse grew. It didn't diminish. So the devotees, they share their revelations, and their lives are dedicated to that. It's not that, we have to be very careful what we say. There's so many people outside. They have so many nice materialistic lives. Therefore we don't want to disturb them and tell them about Krishna, because they may think, oh, the cult members, they're trying to solicit us, they're trying to press us, trying to become cult members like they are. They're bad. So we don't want to look like we're bad. We want everyone to love us, that we're as good as the demons are, as the asuras. We don't want to disturb people's minds. But we want to shake them a little bit so they become potentially Krishna conscious. We want to introduce Krishna consciousness in a nice way, but we want to introduce Krishna consciousness. Krishna is already shaking everyone. Material existence is to shake everyone. The misery of material life of existence is not that there is a God, he's a cruel God, He doesn't like our face, and therefore he's molesting us. He's disturbing us with these material miseries, and this little innocent child is getting some misery because God is either he's asleep or he enjoys. He's kind of a sadist. He enjoys watching little children suffer. That's the materialistic conception of God. But actually, God is trying to shake everyone. Wake up, you rascal. I'm shaking you because what you've done in the past. You didn't want to listen to me. You got yourself into trouble. So here's a little shake. Don't do it again. It's not out of cruelty. It's out of mercy. But people don't understand that because they're in Maya. They're under the illusory energy. But we're supposed to help people wake up. We do it in a nice way. If they don't accept the nice way, they're going to have to accept Maya's way. Therefore, our job is to go and help people. And even if it takes a little bit of a shake, and what we do is we simply tell people the truth. And that's shocking to people. Luckily, as Krishnadas Kaviraj said in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, even we tell the truth to 99.9% of the people, they can't hear us and they don't understand us anyhow. So they can't be offended because they haven't understood anything we said. Although they'll understand it in their own way, and therefore we have to be careful. As Prabodhananda Saraswati said, when we speak to people, we have to speak in such a way as not to disturb their false ego. Therefore, what is that verse? Something Trinad, not Trinadapi, but Kuhakam Nipatya. That taking a straw between my teeth, falling down at your feet, flattering you, 1,000 times. Oh, great personality. Oh, I'm so fortunate to have your association. I can't see you so clearly because your effulgence is blinding me. But oh, great sage, great personality. Please, I'm flattering you 1,000 times. Oh, you've seen my glories. You accept me as the supreme. Very nice. I always needed a few extra devotees. Now that you surrendered to me, now I'll protect you from all, you're under my protection. Don't fear. What can I do for you? And then, of course, the next thing is, my dear sir, you know, give up all your nonsense and try to hear about the glories of Chaitanya Chandra. Anyhow, we have to flatter people. We have to not disturb them, unless we're an acharya like Srila Prabhupada. And he could say such things in such a way that people weren't disturbed. He could call people a rascal, a fool, and they'd just smile. Or is that professor? I don't know, can't remember the whole story. And he came and he was asking Prabhupada some questions. And Prabhupada said, oh, you're a professor of Hinduism? What does Hinduism mean? And he said, I don't know. He said, you're a professor, you don't know? You're a professor of Hinduism, you don't know what Hinduism means? He said, you tell me. He said, no. He said, you're the professor, you tell me. So Sarup Damodar Maharaj was sitting next to him. He said, here's Sarup Damodar, he's also a PhD. So this man is professor of Hinduism. He doesn't know what Hinduism means. What does that mean, Sarup Damodar? What does that mean? And Sarup Damodar Maharaj said, oh, he's a cheater, Prabhupada. He's a cheater. And another professor was there, and he challenged Prabhupada. And Prabhupada got, I can't remember the whole story, but he got on his case. And he said, you're a fool. You're a rascal. And he said, Prabhupada said that a couple of times. And the man was actually, he was struck by the whole thing. He was an Indian gentleman. And he fell down on the ground and offered obeisances to Prabhupada. And he started to say, I'm a fool, I'm a rascal. I'm a fool, I'm a rascal. I probably got up and left. Malati Devi Dasi was saying that, yeah, and this, I don't know if it was maybe one of the Matajis was there. It was Mula Prakriti Mataji. Was saying this man probably was getting on his case and he kept on looking around trying to see if he could get some support. He was looking at her, you know, can you help me? She was looking like, you know, she, you know, what? You know. And he fell down on the ground. I'm a fool, I'm a rascal. Prabhupada got up and left. He was still there. I'm a fool, I'm a rascal. So Prabhupada could do that and actually enter into people's hearts. But if we call people a fool and a rascal, we may get a fist in our face. I mean, that suit the purpose in which we're intended. In any case, where our lives are supposed to be dedicated to whatever we understand, to dedicate our lives to distributing it to others. And what should be the result? Tu shanti cha ramanti cha. We're trying to relieve people from their distress. That way they become satisfied. And the more people can elevate themselves from ignorance to passion to goodness, the more satisfaction they feel that they're actually making progress. And ultimately, when they become liberated from all material anxiety, they'll experience ramanti, actual positive pleasure, happiness, in association with Krishna. Therefore, Arjuna said, Nashto moha smritir labva. My illusion has now been dispelled. I can understand the value of hearing from you. I can understand what I'm supposed to do. And now I'm willing to do it. And what is the proof that Arjuna actually surrendered to Krishna? He went and fought the battle of Kurukshetra. He went and followed Krishna's instructions in the fight. So similarly, we find the demons here, Hiranyaksha. He didn't want to listen to Varuna, who's a bona fide representative of Krishna. Varuna told him straightforward, like Prahlad Maharaj, that you're a fool, you're a rascal, you're going to get into trouble. Tatsada manye surivarya deinam sadasamud vigna diyama satgrahat hedvatma pitam griham andakupam kato darim yad kato vanam darim ashriyeta. As I said the other day, somehow or another, Hiranyakashipu asked his son, Prahlad, what's the best thing you learned in school? And he didn't expect the answer. I remember my mother, she didn't like Krishna consciousness at all. She wasn't 100% an atheist or an agnostic. She just didn't want to hear about it. So one day, she was 93 years old, and she turns to me and she goes, well, what is your philosophy anyhow? Then she goes, no, this is right, don't tell me. There was a slip for a moment. Anyhow, Maya came to her rescue. So Hiranyakashipu, not knowing what he was getting into, he asked Prahlad, what's the best thing you learned in school? So Prahlad Maharaj said, well, he's submissively inquiring. Now let's see if he'll render some service. So he said, my dear sir, O best of the demons, he complimented him. You're not just an ordinary demon, you're the biggest demon. So generally demons don't ask questions to devotees, but, you know, O best of the demons. The best thing I've learned in school, my dear father, is that you're the biggest fool. Not expected answer from Prahlad Maharaj. And then Prahlad Maharaj gave the proof. He said, I'm observing you, my dear father, and I see you're full of anxiety. You did all that austerity to become free from death, but you're still always intoxicated because you're afraid of death. You're supposedly free from death, but you're always worried about your future. You don't like reality. you're saying I'm an escapist because I'm taking shelter of Vishnu. But I look around, I see you're always drinking intoxicating liquors, you're always on everyone's case, you're always fearful of the demigods. Therefore, you're a big fool. So my advice, my dear father, is that get out of your dark well of materialistic existence. Go to Vrindavan and chant Hare Krishna and be happy. So Hiranyakashipu didn't like that instruction. Just like Varuna gave the same instruction to Hiranyaksha. You want to fight against God, God never loses. He has the best knockout record in the universe. Just like when Vanasura asked Lord Shiva, my dear Lord Shiva, you gave me 1,000 arms. I go all over the universe challenging to fight. Everyone runs from me, thinking that it's very hard to block my punches. So I challenge you. He said, no, forget it. You're just wasting your time. He said, don't worry about it. There's going to be a time you're going to meet your foe and your flag of victory will no longer fly. He's going to knock you out dead. So Bhanasura became elated. Wow, that's fantastic. That's the best news I've heard. Great. And he became ecstatic. Because when one has some power and it doesn't cause one, give one happiness, then one wants to expend it, to get rid of it. That's the only happiness of having the power. Finally, one wants to get free from all anxiety. So if it's taken away, then one is not anxiety about that power anymore. So Bhanasura, in his own perverted way, he wanted to become defeated, finally. Similarly, everyone's looking forward, I'm worried about death, I'm worried about death. And then finally, let's find out what it's all about. What am I really worried about? So everyone's thinking like that. Just like there was one devotee, he was always afraid of going on book distribution. No one could get him out the door. Because he was afraid if he went on book distribution, someone would attack him. So he's so fearful. His life was just like full of fear. Because every week everyone was going on book distribution, and in those days everyone was obligated to go. And they couldn't push him out the door. He was too much in anxiety and fear. One day they got him out the door. And he went up to one person to shake his hand and said, and the person took a fist and slammed him into the face and knocked him out cold. So Krishna sent the person that he was always thinking about. Krishna fulfilled his desire. Finally, everything he was meditating on for so many years manifested, and then he was relieved. He was afraid. For so many years he was meditating what it would be like if I went on book distribution and someone knocked me out on the street. So Krishna sent him his desire and he found out. So similarly, this idea of fighting against someone and then getting defeated, everyone's anxiety about it. Ultimately death is going to defeat us. So when it happens and we find out and we're relieved, oh, it wasn't so bad, actually. It wasn't what I expected. Or maybe it was bad, who knows. But it's our meditation. So here, Hiranyaksha is looking for someone to defeat him, and Krishna comes and defeats him, because that's what he wants. Krishna is simply fulfilling his desire to fight. But it's useless. Ultimately, it's useless. Of course, he serves as an example of another fool and rascal being defeated by Krishna. Dramatic example, but for him it is ultimately useless in one sense. He could have listened to Varuna and learned his lesson and surrendered to Krishna in a pleasant way, but instead he didn't want to listen to Varuna and he got in contact with Krishna because of his strong desire to meet Krishna and he got knocked out by Krishna. So either we can choose something pleasant by hearing from the devotees and following their instructions, or the material nature will engage us, and we're all going to get knocked out again by Krishna and his illusory energy. So that's our choice. And Aranyaksha is showing us the wrong way, but at least he's showing us an example, what we're not supposed to do. Lucky in the Bhagavatam, there are other examples of what we're supposed to do, but both are important. So all glories to Aranyaksha. So thank you very much. Are there any comments? Yes. You want the microphone? Or?
When we say that we're not the doer, that Krishna does everything, that's one side of it. On the other side, say for example, Srila Prabhupada, we don't say, oh, Krishna did everything.
We don't say Krishna does everything. No. We say he does practically everything, except for our deciding what kind of desires we're going to have.
So, in our philosophy, a teacher being upgraded, tattva was simultaneously one but also different. So, in Prabhupada's case, we don't say Krishna did it, we give the glorification to the devotee. So, how do we balance that? Because sometimes the devotees can go to the extreme and they say, I'm not the doer,
but that's a misunderstanding. We're not the doer. We're not doing anything. Otherwise, how do we explain when Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Prakritye kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashaha ahankara vimudatma kartaham iti manyate. Bewildered by the modes of material nature, the living entity thinks himself to be the doer of activities which are actually carried out by the three modes of material nature. Or amadi vamadan amadi vam nirgunadvat paramatmayam aviyam sharira stopi kondiya nakaroti nanalipyate. Those who can see with the eyes of eternity can see that the soul is transcendental, eternal, and beyond the modes of nature. Despite the contact with the material body or Arjuna, the soul is neither doing anything nor is he entangled. So that's one side of the story. Now we want to find out what the soul is doing. That's a different story. Therefore, Krishna says that adishtanam tata karata karanam cha pritag vidan vivitas cha pritag chesta daivam chaivantar panchamam, that there are five causes for the accomplishment of any kind of activity, of which the body is one, the karta or the soul or the doer is another, the senses are another, the false ego in contact with the modes of nature is another, and then the Supreme Lord and his agents are another. So then Krishna has five factors. So the soul is always transcendental, so he doesn't do anything in the material world. But he's transcendental, he does things in the spiritual world. So therefore the soul is doing something, he's desiring. In the spiritual world, that's all people have to do in the spiritual world, is desire. Because desire and activity is non-different. Everything is carried out just by desire to love Krishna. Everything is manifested there. It's a whole different realm. But here, desire has a different, when the soul desires, Krishna has to do everything here because it's an artificial world for the soul. He has nothing to do with it. It's like a make-believe world for the soul. So here we're very concerned that I have to get some credit for what's going on. But actually, it's not necessary because our real activities are always in the spiritual world, always on the spiritual platform. There's no such, the material world is created, maintained, and annihilated all by Krishna through his agencies. His energies. It has nothing to do with us, except we have something to do with the material world, that's all. And therefore we become entangled by it. So this idea, I have to be the doer here. Yes, we have our part. We're coming here and we're entangling ourselves by our desires, but we're not directly doing anything. But we're, because of our desires, Krishna is carrying out, according to what we deserve, through his agencies. But our real activity is on the spiritual platform. Our real activities begin when we love Krishna. That's the only activity that goes on in the spiritual world, is love for Krishna, manifested in endless varieties of activities. So this idea that we have to have some special input into the material energy is not really very important. As far as what Prabhupada was doing, because of his strong desire to serve Krishna, therefore everything he was doing was under the influence of the spiritual energy. So his credit was because of his strong desire to serve the words of his spiritual master. That's what he said his credit was, and that's what's glorious. That's how we'll become glorious too, by developing a strong desire to serve the words of the disciple succession. That's the glory of the soul. If we think the soul has some other glory, then we're an illusion, that's all. It may not be very valuable to a materialist, but that's very important for a spiritualist. Therefore, we serve those who have a strong desire to serve the disciple succession. Is that clear? Anything else? Yes. How does, like a second-class devotee, how do they chant Hare Krishna? You mean, well, sometimes we think first class, second class, third class, it's like, you know, you're in one box and then they pick you up one day and put you in another box. It's like an ocean of different levels of consciousness. But a second-class devotee who's actually liberated, then he generally, at the very beginning of liberation, he's not disturbed by anything that goes through his mind when he's chanting. When he becomes a little bit more advanced, every time he chants Hare Krishna, well, we should say, according to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his Harinam Chintamani, no, it's Namhata actually, the little book called Namhata, he compares to the chanting as like Chintamani, the Mahabhagavat, or gold like Bhava, or silver, like in a sakti, etc. So, given that example, when one is on, becomes liberated on the second class platform, is able to maintain his position of liberation, doesn't identify himself with his body or mind anymore, has understood at least he's not those things, then when he chants Hare Krishna, spontaneously he remembers the form of Krishna. And when he advances still further on the state of Ruchi, by definition, when he chants Hare Krishna, then he feels Krishna's and his associates' presence and their loving atmosphere that they're creating and their reciprocations. And when he advances towards a sakti, then at that stage, spontaneously along with Krishna's forms and his associates' forms, he remembers that not only their qualities, but he also remembers their activities spontaneously, constantly. And when he comes to the stage of Bhava, that's the stage of Madhyama Adhikara. And when his own feelings are awakened in relation to Krishna and his associates, then he's beginning the stage of Bhava, his own spiritual feelings. Rather than just feeling Krishna and his associates, he's actually actively participating in giving his own feelings towards them. That's called Bhava. And when that increases, that's Uttama Adhikara. And when that condenses and is multiplied millions of times, because Bhava is just one ray in the sunlight of prema, then he comes to the platform of prema, and that's called perfection of life, sampati das. And then he understands his relationship perfectly with Krishna, and is internally engaged in it, and that advances from prema to other stages, such as sneha, mana, raga, anuraga, bhava, mahabhava. Hey, yes?
As you were saying, like, with the revelation, every moment, isn't like in Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna reveals the universal form, the everything to Arjuna.
Wait for what? You mean just sit there and just wait for the revelations to come? Hopefully they'll bring us prasadam in the meantime. So we're going to, no, Krishna doesn't tell Arjuna. We have to dovetail our desires with Krishna's desire. Along with his body, well, we could say when we enter into this body, we enter with our subtle mind and our intelligence and false ego. So we have to utilize those things. We have to desire that, according to the body I presently have, according to the mind I presently have, according to my intelligence I presently have. Those things should be utilized in Krishna's service under the direction of his representatives. So I have to hear from his representatives and then desire to serve their instructions. So most of our representatives don't tell us to sit down and just eat all day long. There's so many instructions. So therefore, that we say, well, there's so many instructions, I don't know which one to do. Well, someone will tell you if you ask them. You ask the temple president, he'll tell you what to do. You say, well, I'm initiated by my spiritual master. He's 3,000 miles away. I don't know what he wants me to do, so I'm just going to do whatever I want to do. No, Prabhupada set up a system, our ISKCON society, that the instructions are coming down through the disciple succession. And Krishna has appointed so many representatives, and they're supposed to be working harmoniously together. So unless you get some contrary instruction, we have so many authorities. And the immediate authority, for instance, is the temple president, or the temple commander, or the head cook, or the bhakta leader. So you follow their instructions, and you'll know what to do. Under not only their instructions, but we have to understand their instructions in the context of what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. So simultaneously with hearing them, we have to study Bhagavad Gita so we can understand what they're saying. And if we doubt what they're saying, either we can go to their authority or we could try to use our intelligence and understand more deeply through Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra in a humble way, investigate. And then when everything's clear, then we'll know what to do. We'll know how to desire. Therefore, Krishna asked Arjuna, have you understood it? He didn't just tell him, go and fight again. Arjuna said, no, I fell asleep. Go and fight anyhow. I can't waste my time. No, he said, Prabhupada said he was prepared to repeat everything again if that was necessary. So Arjuna finally got clarity, and he knew what to do. And for us, ultimately, it means to desire. Because it's probably writes in the Bhagavad Gita in the introduction, we work not with our body, we work with our mind and intelligence. And our mind will depend upon our intelligence. And our intelligence will depend upon what we've heard. So we hear things properly, and then we can serve with our body, with our mind and body, and then we'll see if Krishna gives us any revelation. We're actually making progress. If we're not making any progress, we haven't heard properly. I think one more question. Okay. Yes.
The revelation aspect, how do we understand that the actual revelation that's coming out of the indications of our own mind?
Well, if you don't know, then it's coming from your mind. If it's not confirmed by gurus, sadhu, and shastra, then it's coming out of some illusory conception of life. We're not becoming more detached from the illusory energy. If we're not seeing everyone and everything more in relation to Krishna, if we're not feeling love for Krishna and for everyone, then it's simply an illusory so-called revelation. We're making progress, but who knows where we're going at the end of such progress. Thank you very much. Grandharaj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.